It's almost universal, whether it's two wheels, four wheels, 18 wheels, no wheels. So many of us have a special memory involving a vehicle or a story about a car we've loved. Even if you can't tell a crankshaft from a driveshaft, I want to hear the story of the vehicle that moved you. I'm Blake Jackson, and this is Autobiography. Next guest on the Autobiography podcast, going back to the radio days, a dear, dear friend, and I'd even call him a mentor. He was always inspirational to work with. Legendary Canadian rock and roll DJ, entrepreneur, father, and just a heck of a guy, Mr. Jason Fooey.
Blake Jackson. Wow, what an honor. Thanks, man. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you're one of the best storytellers I've ever met, so...
Well, I'm a fan of the pod,
Thank you.
Think it's a great idea, and sort of the concept too. I wanted to ask you your opinion, if we can just interject just a little bit to start us off.
Of course.
When you asked the question, you know, that first descriptor, that first thing on the stat line, you know, to be told, do you say the year, the color, what do you just say, the make, the model? Where do you start when you first describe, I mean, literally that first moment of a car, that first thing of a car? What do you say?
Well, I would, car guy going way back, you know my roots, so I would say the year, and then
yes,
not even the make, just the model, as in 92 Mustang, as in 74
yes,
El Camino.
Interesting.
Yes.
See, from my vehicle, like, I was thinking about it, and the color meant so much to me that it's such a big part of this vehicle. And
yeah,
I've done some research and I've seen this vehicle around a couple of times, not only in Alberta, but all over the place. But it's a dying vehicle. I'm not seeing much of it anymore. But once in a while, you see this car and you're like, whoa, oh my goodness. And you get these shivers. And I don't know if you ever have that when you see old cars that you used to drive.
Absolutely.
It's a dying breed.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, with that, Jason Fooey, tell us about the vehicle that moved you.
Okay, so it's a great question. And that's an interesting thing, too, because I always thought about the first vehicle that I drove. And then you try to define that. Is that the first vehicle you insured? Is that the first vehicle you ever drove? You know, there's a couple of vehicles that were important to me in those early, you know, you just got your license days, but I would never really consider those my first vehicles. They were important, but they've all kind of fallen by the wayside. But I had one particular, Blake, that it's always stuck out to me. And I used to get compliments on it. And it was so organic because I didn't even know I had a good vehicle. So, 1982, red two-door Datsun pickup.
Going to pause for a sec and tell you about the mighty Datsun 720. Part of the Datsun line of trucks going back to 1955, the 720 was available in North America from 1980 to 1986. Available in two- and four-wheel drive with 13 different engine choices, everything from a 1.5-liter gas engine to a 2.5-liter diesel. A notable trim option was the Little Hustler. What was special about the Little Hustler? Well, apparently a three-spoke steering wheel was a very big deal in 1980.
It was lifted, a little bit lifted. At the time, I didn't really even know what that meant, but and that just showed about the organic aspect of me buying this vehicle. So it had fat tires and four-speed transmission. It
four
was
speed
slow.
Manual.
It was, I just said slow, but I was just thinking, you know, actually it wasn't slow. It just had no balls, like nothing, like just no balls. Like, it's not that it was slow, it was quick, but then you just lose it right away. And it's just nothing, just empty calorie, just nothing. You would go, and that's it, like a motorcycle, you know?
Yeah, like a kid that's been eating candy all day and just yes, rages for 15 minutes, then goes back asleep.
The cab had like two seats. There might have been a little area in the back. I know they did. This was a 720. So 720. A Datsun 720, which is, they did, don't know how many models they did of this puppy. You could probably do some research on it, but like some of them came with what they called a king cab, which in theory sounds like you have a lot of space. It's king, man. It's king. No, these king cabs were small. And I know as much as important this vehicle was, I can't remember exactly how much space was back there, but I do know it was very minimum. You might have been able to get one person back there. It had the lifted Datsun stenciling on the tailgate, and it was all red, right? All red. Like, it wasn't like the stenciling wasn't white. I've seen some that are white, but this stenciling was all red. So it was just very very faint.
Understated.
Understated, yeah. And I just loved it. The truck looked great, and I, like I said, I got compliments about it all the time, and I didn't even know. It never occurred to me, Blake,
yeah,
the way it occurs to me now that I had a cool truck. You know, it was nothing on gas, always started in the winters. I never plugged this thing in. I didn't know anything, you know, long box, but it was lifted too. So it had some personality, and people would always compliment me. I'd be just like, yeah, sure. It's just a stupid truck, you know? I mean, I liked it, but, so I buy it from some biker dude in an unnamed Saskatchewan city. it was a family, but they were all kind of badass, and he wanted $2,000 cash. So I only had 1600, and I just tried to barter with him. And I respect this guy. He just would not budge a cent. Like, if I said, you know, $1,999, he'd two grand. So I was like, all right, fine. I'll find the other 400. And I did. I found the other 400. Let me figure some stuff out. Look, many of your listeners may be relating to this. I mean, you know, you're a young guy or young woman, and you have to move from a job to a job. And I needed to bring this vehicle. I needed a vehicle like this to bring my, you know, my shit to Sudbury, Ontario. And I needed a vehicle, and I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to throw out all my stuff. So I'm still early radio days, you know, just a kid.
Yeah.
And I needed this truck. So I wrangled up the cash and bought it, took it from Saskatchewan to Sudbury, where I proceeded to mostly let it sit. I didn't do much with it in Ontario, but, you know, I just let the insurance kind of run out. And I thought I would never really use it again, just parked it in my apartment building parking lot. You know, they give you space. So you use that space. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, and then one day, like, I just started driving it. Look, I know it's not great, but I drove it uninsured a few times. There was a beach in the town of Sudbury, and there was nothing better, Blake, than driving this vehicle. I mean, I'm telling you, the looks that I would get, I would drive, you know, shirtless. And it's like a Jeep, but it's like, this thing is just so cute. It's such a cute truck. And I, as I was growing into it a little bit, and now, like I said, I'm driving it uninsured because I can't afford insurance in Ontario. And I'm not driving it to work or anything. I'm just driving it once in a while to the beach. And, you know, again, not a great thing, but whatever. And I get all these crazy looks. People like it just looks so cool. And I just thought I was so cool in this truck. And I would occasionally get people asking me to buy it. That's the crazy thing, Blake.
Yeah.
People, did you ever have a vehicle that people would admire or anything like that? Like, people would ask me about this car, and I'd be like, no, I can't sell it. I need this vehicle. You know, what are you talking about? Anyway, so I leave it in the parking spot, and it's a Thursday night. And then I remember I drove it that Thursday to the beach, and I came downstairs, parked it. And then Friday morning, I was walking by my truck. Like I said, I wasn't using it even on the week. Like, it would sit for weeks without me using it. But once in a while, you know, I'd pull it out, and it just looks so cool. It's such a cool little truck. Always started, like. Mm-hmm. And it's Friday morning, and I go outside, and I notice the passenger door had been, something's up with the passenger door. And someone had broken into it. Someone broke into the vehicle, and they busted the door, the passenger side door. It's only two door, little Nissan, Datsun, I guess Nissan Datsun truck. And they bust through the door, and they steal the really terrible stereo that's in the truck. I mean, just the worst CD player ever. And they bust in to steal that thing. And then I go the whole weekend just feeling down, like, oh, my vehicle's been busted in, but it still drives. I just got no tunes. Doesn't matter. I'm not, like I said, it's not really my regular vehicle or anything. I'm just riding my bike these days. It's hard. You're in radio. You're just starting your way. And I come out Monday morning to my truck, and I have my spare in the back of the truck. In that wheel well of the truck, in some form of grocery bag, was my stereo.
What?
The thieves had the gall. They had a sense of humor. They had to have had a sense of humor. They had to have had a sense of humor in the sense of, your stereo is so bad that we are returning. We want you to know that we could have just thrown this in the garbage, but we didn't have to. We're just going to return it to you and to let you know you have the worst stereo in the world.
Was there any chance that they heard you talking about this on air?
No, like I said, it just wasn't, no. You know what it was, though? You know what I thought? I think it was someone who asked me to buy the vehicle, because maybe 3 months later, someone asked me to buy the vehicle. And I said, yes.
Oh.
I sold it to the guy for 800 cash on the spot. I didn't clean the vehicle out or anything. I didn't, you know how you have to get a vehicle looking nice or something? He just took it as is.
$800.
Yeah, 800 bucks.
Wow.
So I made 100, I didn't make $800 off of it, but I ended up selling an uninsured, you know, a vehicle that I, you know, I don't even know if it was roadworthy anymore. But this truck was so important to me and so cool. And when I was driving it in Saskatchewan, I was driving it everywhere, and it just had this weird sort of loudness about it. But like, it thought it had balls, but it didn't. And it was such a beautiful, I recommend people to go look up those Nissans, those Datsun pickups. This was again, an 82, I think. And just cute little trucks. And once in a while, Blake, you will see them on the road. In fact, I thought I saw one just the other day, but it might have been a Mazda. Mazda has a version of this truck that's very similar. It's very similar. I don't know if you know, like, because it's Japanese, right? Datsun is
correct.
Japanese.
Yeah.
So
now, and I would have to go back and check. And I'm sorry, I don't know the specifics. So Mazda and Ford shared a body style and engines for that size of truck. But Datsun, I am not sure. You know what? Datsun actually had a very successful line of race cars in the 60s and 70s as well.
Yes.
And of course, they had the 280 ZX and the 300, so they had some really cool cars. And I actually just pulled up this truck on the old Google machine in red, 1982. Beautiful truck. You're right.
Yeah. There's just something about it. Like, it's just something, there's just some personality with it. And so when I was asking you about the descriptor, for me, 1982, sure. But then red for me, it was like, you know, I guess a 720, you could say a 1982 Datsun 720 to describe it, because were a bunch of different colors. One of the first vehicles I purchased, again, you know, that I didn't have for a long time, was a Pontiac Acadian. But a Chevette is an Acadian. Like, those vehicles are the same thing too, right?
Yeah.
So I never quite understood what the difference was between a Chevette and an Acadian, but I did have an Acadian that was pretty important.
One was Pontiac, and then the Chevette was Chevy.
Oh, okay. Sure. Okay, that's right. But aren't they sold under the same roof, those two vehicles?
General Motors, yes. But I think, now, I'm going to get corrected on this, but that's okay. I think Acadian may have been a Canadian-only automobile, much like the Beaumont was.
Oh, the Beaumont.
Yep.
You know, one of my dream cars, Blake, Chevy Nova, just because of the way it looks.
Yeah.
But apparently they don't run that great. Like, if you're not a great mechanic, what? It's not like you want to have one of those things as your main car.
Well, what year are you thinking
of?
Nova?
Black. Oh, late 70s, early 80s. Like, I think maybe mid 70s Nova.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about that. You know, you met my dad, and you know how much he loved to talk about cars. So he had a buddy with a Nova that he would drag race all the time. Back in the late 60s, early 70s, they were a hell of a car. Because
Okay, good.
They had those Chevy big blocks and whatnot. Now, if you go for a late 70s Nova, it depends what kind of motor you have in there. And you know what? We could buy it, Jason. Bring it out to my place. We'll drop a motor.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's kind of a dream car of mine, and but it kind of falls in the same category as this Datsun vehicle. Like, I've always seen these Datsuns once in a while around. I'm like, oh, I'd love to buy one of those, but I also would love to buy a Chevy Nova one day. And
so if you're going to be out driving to the beach, like you were talking about with your mm-hmm. Datsun 720,
mm-hmm.
uninsured, shirt off,
mm-hmm.
winking at the ladies as you do.
Mm-hmm.
So what song are you going to play?
Oh, it's great. It's great. So, you know, you're a classic rock fan.
Yeah.
And when I saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, you may have seen it recently with Brad Pitt.
So
when they did that Hush scene, I honestly felt like Quentin Tarantino stole it out of my life, because I can tell you how many times I would time it so that I would start my vehicle. It's like, and I'd be driving right on the highway, right in where it's like, na 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 na. You know what? I swear, and it blew me away. And he let that song go for a long time in that movie, and I thought, he's speaking to me with this. I could not believe it. Well, I'm curious what you would be listening to. Can you just share what you would be like? I really want to know what. If you could be listening to, like, what song would be playing for you?
This is a tough one, but I'll tell you, because there's so many scenarios. It's so many songs.
So many scenarios. So many. That's what I'm saying. I love Radiohead, but I'm not going to the beach listening to Radiohead. You know?
That guy's so pale.
Why is he crying? Tom York is a very sickly man, yes, in the physical, actual way. Yes.
I'll tell you what, when I'm driving into town to record the autobiography podcast, it's Led Zeppelin 3.
Ooh, whoa. Little immigrant song there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good times, bad times.
Good times, bad times. Ooh.
Out on the tiles.
Hmm.
And hey, a song about us, friends.
Wait, is Good Times, Bad Times on Zeppelin 3?
Oh, shit. We're going to have to edit this. No. It's the first song on Zeppelin 1. I'm sorry.
Yes. Oh. No, that's okay.
F.
Well, you've been on the radio for a while.
No. I listened to both albums on the way in today. Jason Fooey, rock DJ, markets all across Canada, an old buddy, a mentor of mine, someone I've always looked up to, and I'm so grateful that he made the time for us on the Autobiography Podcast, talking about the 1982 Datsun 720 pickup, legendary truck from the sound of it. Thank you very much, Jason, and thank you to our next guest. Let's hear another myth of the machine. Next guest on the Autobiography Podcast, entrepreneur Mickey Chow. And if you're a fan of essential oils, as I know my wife certainly is and many people are, the Olfactory is definitely one to check out. Mickey can hook you up with the oils and the diffusers and however it works, she can do that for you. She's also a new mother. So, Mickey, thank you very much for joining us. And we're curious about the vehicle that moved you.
Okay, so anytime I think back on high school, my best memories are from my best friend's cherry red Ford Festiva. And don't ask me what year it was. It was standard, so that added to the fun.
Going to pause for a sec and tell you about the Ford Festiva. Manufactured from 1986 to 2002, contrary to common belief, it was not related to the similar-sized Ford Fiesta. Built and sold worldwide under a plethora of names, the sporty little subcompact came with two or four doors, 1.1 liter to a 1.3 liter engine, and a 3, 4, or 5-speed manual transmission.
My brother had taught me how to drive stick at the farm way before I was of driving age, of course,
yeah.
But I didn't get to use those skills as much as my siblings did. So then I relearned on this Ford Festiva, and I just remember stalling so many times uphill on Taylor Street in Saskatoon. So that was always fun during lunch hour. And Amy and I were in photography class together all the time, and so we would take our kind of creative freedoms out to the dirt roads around Saskatoon, and we would get the best photos of farm fences and old farmhouses and the fields, and it would all just be with this little Ford Festiva, and it got us everywhere. And we'd be pumping Jack Johnson and Howie Day and Elliott Smith, and so anytime one of those artists comes on, I'm just like thrown back into the front seat of that car, and it makes me very happy.
What color interior did it have?
I kind of remember it being like a gray beige type of color, very neutral. If neutral was a color, it would have been neutral.
How did you figure out who drove when?
Well, it depended on the scenario. Like
Okay.
if we needed a DD, it was usually me. But during school hours, it was kind of just like if I wanted to practice stick, she would let me. She's a very good teacher, like a natural born teacher, I'd say. So she was very patient with all of us wanting to learn standard in her car. It would kind of just be up in the air, whatever we were feeling like. So it was
That's
fun because she was one of the first of us to have a car, so
Well, that's very special among the group of friends, and very generous too,
yes.
because some things can go wrong while you're learning how to drive a stick.
Oh God, and they did.
So you mentioned stalling out on hills quite a bit.
Yeah.
What happens when you stall out on a hill on a busy street?
A lot of honking and a lot of starting to roll backward. If you're panicking, don't know what to do next, you start to roll backwards. And then just like the sweat that comes after that, because you gotta like start from scratch and be like, okay, I know what to do. I just need to calm down. And people are giving you the finger as they drive by. And you know what? That's a good life practice of just like stalling out on a busy street. It really teaches you to have patience with yourself
Yeah, and with others, some
and with
empathy.
others. Yeah.
How many people were you able to fit in the car at one time?
Five. It had a little, well, I can't remember if there was a buckle in the middle seat of the back. Four to five.
Because they're a small car, but I know teenagers don't really go by seat belt availability.
Kind of a suggestion. Yeah, I definitely know that we had five people in there at a time, many times. So hopefully five is the legal answer.
Yeah, that's a good tight squeeze for sure. What was the craziest thing that ever happened to you and Amy in the Festiva?
To Amy and I, let's see. One time we were heading out of town. This isn't the best story,
Oh,
but
tell it.
you might want to cut it out.
No, tell
We
it.
were heading out of town for a party that happens every year near Saskatoon, and on our way out, we were heading down through downtown of Saskatoon, and a drunk person had stumbled onto the street, and we hit him, going very slowly,
Okay.
but that was crazy, and we had to call the cops and ambulance, and they came and he was fine, and so they let us go and
Yeah.
everything like that.
Well,
But
you did the right thing. You called right away, correct?
yes, yeah.
You did the right thing.
Yeah. But it was terrifying just seeing
Yeah.
someone go across the front of your hood. I don't know if you've ever hit anyone with your car, but it is a terrifying experience for, I think,
I agree.
both sides of
So,
the people.
were you driving when this happened, or was she?
No, she was.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're okay. That was
Yeah.
quite a while ago, I'm sure, but yeah,
Yeah.
I didn't know about that. So, I'm glad
Don't know if
everything.
my parents know about that
Ooh,
either.
okay. Well,
They're about to, though.
oh, I'm so glad that you were willing to share that. That makes my
Well,
day. Makes me
if I
happy.
share it on a podcast, they can't do much about it,
No, it's public domain. I'm not a smart man. You know that, but
right?
I know that you're a new mom as well, so you should
Yeah.
be snoozing right now. So, I tell you what, thank you for being on the Autobiography podcast so much. It was a wonderful story. This is perfect.
Oh, good. Thanks for having me. I hope it was, yeah, I hope it put you in the seat of the Festiva because that was a great car.
Mickey Chow, delightful guest. You know what? She nailed it. If it's a Ferrari, if it's a Festiva, I want to hear about the vehicle that moved you and the vehicle that you loved. And it sounds like they had so much fun in that little red Ford Festiva. Whatever gets you where you want to go and gets you there with the people that you love, that's perfect. That's what I want to hear about it. Mickey Chow, thanks so much. Check out her online presence everywhere. Web, social media, theolfactoryshop.com, and of course on Instagram, Facebook, The Olfactory Shop. And if you have a story like she did or like Jason Fooey did about his pickup, I want to know about it. Autobiographypod@gmail.com. You can also look us up on all sorts of social media. And please like and follow wherever you get your podcasts. Would love to hear from you and would love to know that you're here next time. Until then, keep your wheels on the road and a tarp on your load.